Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday here in the San Francisco Bay in the beautiful month of May. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck, Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunray, Snack with Impact. Yes, folks, it's a lovely day here in the San Francisco Bay, and all kinds of fruit is starting to come on. We have cherries, we have apricots, we have tons of berries, we have early peaches and nectarines. And yes, this month we'll have California cantaloupes as well. Greens and fava beans and peas and all kinds of goodies. And we know that as much as we enjoy these fresh fruit and vegetables in our diets, that when we know that they're very nutritious for us, and we hear about polyphenols, and we hear about anthocyanins and antioxidants and all of that good stuff, and it makes us feel good because we know what we're eating is not only delicious, but it's good for us as well. But what exactly are these antioxidants? What do they do for our bodies? Well, today we're going to find out. So last week I mentioned fava leaves and how good they are and how tasty they are. And I threw in a little bit of nutrition. And I also let you know that when fava leaves are on the stand, that means fava beans are sure to follow. And yes, there's a lot of fava beans in the stores right now out of Mexico, but California is starting to hit. And I love this time of the year when they first hit because the beans are very small. So the pods are edible and the beans are very small. They're very sweet. And you cook those up like you would shishito peppers and eat them like potato chips. They're absolutely delicious. So a lot of fava beans hitting the farmers markets in the stores right now. You'll see transitions from Mexican fava beans, which are over mature now, to California, which will be at the perfect stage. You know, a lot of folks don't eat fava beans because they're just too much work. You got to open them up and then you got to dump them out and saute them. But did you know that there's even more work than that? Because once you open the fava bean pod, and they're protected in that pod by a little styrofoam looking foam inside that protects them, but there's also a layer around the bean that you peel off. And then you will have a super sweet bean. If you leave the peel on, that's fine. But if you're going to eat them raw, you're going to have to take that little peel off the bean itself to sweeten it up. If you're going to saute them, you can leave that little film on the bean. But anyway, nutrition in fava beans is over the top, really good stuff. And in the studio with us today is Brianna, my nutritional consultant. And she's going to go over some of the nutrition that you get in fava beans because we really want to add those into our diets, especially now in the spring.
Yeah, I think fava beans are great because being part of the bean family, they are packed with a lot of fiber and soluble fiber to be exact. And it also contains good amounts of protein, iron, B vitamins, and minerals like magnesium and potassium, just to name a few. And I was wondering, do you sometimes soak your beans?
Well, I soak dry beans because you told me to. I soak dry beans, but I don't soak fresh beans. Why? Should we be soaking fresh beans as well?
You could, and I was thinking that it does help get that outer skin off a little bit easier.
Ah, okay. Very good.
Yes, before you cook them.
So it's just plain water and what, overnight? A couple of hours if they're fresh?
Yeah, if they're fresh, I would say at least a couple of hours. I like to soak my beans overnight, though. It just kind of makes it easier for me to not have to worry about it.
Fresh beans?
Yeah, I will soak fresh beans and dry beans.
Oh, okay. Well, then there we go, folks.
The fava beans, not like green beans or ones like that.
Well, yeah, well, that you eat the whole pod, yep. and that's a whole different story.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's other beans that do hit in the summer, a lot of cranberry beans in this area. So those will hit, and we'll most likely soak those. And we'll talk about those as soon as they come in the season. Right now, they're coming up out of Mexico, but when the local stuff hits, then we'll get into that. Okay, so eating fava beans, you know, we want to get them into our diets. It's springtime. Mother Nature's great to us because she gives us different fruits and vegetables with specific nutrients sprinkled out all through the year. It gives us some
different nutrients through different seasons, for sure. And I think that the soluble fiber is probably the biggest winner in any of the beans.
What is it?
Well, soluble fiber can help with digestion, lowering cholesterol, and even blood sugar. And there's two main types of fiber. They're soluble and insoluble. Both are important in their own ways for health and digestion and preventing diseases, like I mentioned. But soluble fiber can dissolve in water to a form like a gel-like substance, and it aids to slow digestion. And that's what helps with pulling extra cholesterol out of the body, so it's not reabsorbed, and also helps aid in lowering blood sugar. And insoluble fiber is pretty much considered roughage, what cannot be broken down and comes out the other end, similar to the way that came in.
Okay, so it's just there for the ride.
There for the ride, but okay. As roughage helps with bulking and kind of cleaning out the colon and has its own health benefits as well. So an apple will have both. Think of soluble fiber within the apple, but the skin is insoluble fiber.
Oh, okay. So you're saying most of these fruits and vegetables have both of them?
Or yes.
So no matter what we're eating when it comes to fruits and vegetables, especially like a big salad, we're getting both soluble and insoluble fiber.
Yeah.
And that jelly that you said it creates, that is what removes the cholesterol from the body, the gel, after it creates it?
It helps aid in that.
Helps aid in that. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So soluble fiber can help lower cholesterol, like we just said, blood sugar spikes, and even the risk of certain cancers. There's a lot of research into fiber and its prevention of colon cancers specifically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And soluble fiber can be found in fruits, vegetables, legumes, like we're talking about, the fava bean, nuts, seeds, and grains. So as you stay with whole foods, you will find the fiber. But in meats, there would be zero fiber. In refined carbohydrates where, you know, the germ and the husk has been removed.
And so junk food.
Yeah, processed foods will have a lot less to zero fiber in them. So stay towards whole foods and you will always get a good amount of fiber.
And so breads, like white breads that are, those are empty carbs, right? And a lot of them are manufactured, yes, folks, manufactured in a way where because it's white flour, I guess everything's removed from it because it's bleached, right? And then after they make the dough or whatever, however it is, I don't know how they do it, they throw a bunch of nutrients back into it, but then it's kind of like, you know, stretching out a rubber band 10 times or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so they take the whole grain and they remove the germ and I think the endosperm and they refine it. And then when it's refined, that's where the fiber is taken out of it, and a lot of the B vitamins as well. And then it's made into a flour, which is ultra processed, and then put into breads. And because those nutrients are taken out, the companies have to put certain vitamins and minerals back into the breads.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, so then when it comes to breads, and you know, I don't know how we got on this from fava beans, but when it comes to breads, some breads are really good. Something with, I don't know, like is that Ezekiel bread with or breads that are...
It needs to say whole grain.
Whole grain, okay.
Yes, and the bread I choose because I look for as few ingredients as possible.
Sure.
Is a sprouted buckwheat bread. And I think it's sprouted buckwheat, whole grain, and then it's water and sea salt. So the dense and firm it is kind of lets you know that it's used with whole grains versus the fluffy, you know, white bread. I remember when I was a kid taking a slice of the Wonder Bread and balling it up into a,
a
little ball and eating it like dough.
Sure.
That's the bread you want to stay away from because it's devoid of the wonderful nutrients that were taken out of it. It will spike, for many people, blood sugar, not everyone, and it's just not as healthy.
So the reason I ask you about breads is I like to make a sandwich with avocado, red onions, bell peppers, sliced green bell peppers, or any other color bell pepper, but some, did I say onions already?
Yeah.
Sprouts and maybe some shredded carrot or, you know, just a bunch of vegetables. And then I do like a goat cheese on it or a feta. And I like to eat that.
Sounds delicious. Why use the bread? Sounds like a delicious salad to me.
Well, yes, but sometimes I want it as a sandwich. So the bread that you're talking about with the three ingredients, that's the way to go. Because I've been buying some that they do say whole grain and this and that on them, but there's a few more ingredients than just three. So, so should knock down the ingredients list on pretty much any of these foods should be short, right?
Should be short. And what's great about whole foods, when I go buy my, fava beans in the store in the produce department, there is no ingredients list. I know what I'm getting. There's nothing but Mother Nature, nothing put in it that shouldn't be there.
See that, folks? Now, I've posed this question before, but I'll ask it again, and maybe we'll get some answers. How many folks who are in the produce industry actually take the time to consume what you sell, okay, but not only consume what you sell, but consume fruits and vegetables as a whole, and then take the time to make sure that you're not smothering them with a bunch of sugars and fats and
mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Right. What about, I use something called veginase sometimes. I like that, but is that bad for you too?
I would have to see the ingredients. I stay away from the refined seed oils.
Ah, okay.
So I used to be one of those people to eat my artichoke leaves with a ton of mayonnaise or string of broccoli. That's the one growing up. And now eating the food in its whole state and without any condiment, it tastes so sweet. It tastes so much better. I don't miss the mayonnaise at all. I don't miss the butter. I don't miss those things. Every now and then, depending on the fruit or vegetable, I'll drizzle, some extra virgin olive oil on it or something like that for taste.
Sure.
But that's about it.
So I guess over a period of time, and probably not a very long time, your taste buds will actually change.
Oh, yes.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Definitely. The taste buds will actually change, like you're saying, to crave more of the healthier foods when you put those in place of the unhealthy foods.
Okay.
So when you swap them out. And the less sugar you eat, it will actually make less taste buds for sweets.
So you won't crave those sweets as much anymore. A friend of mine, I hadn't seen him for a few months, and then he came to town, very good friend of mine. And I looked at him and I said, my goodness, you have just look a lot thinner. He says, yeah, I haven't lost anything. I said, okay, good. But you look a lot thinner. He says, yes. He goes, I said, what have you been doing? And he says, Dan, I've been listening to my body. That's what I've been doing. And that's all I do.
Sounds like sage advice.
Yeah. So some folks think they get up in the morning, they got to have something right away. Bowl of cereal, bowl of oatmeal, or whatever. But that's not always the case. You don't have to eat first thing in the morning like that, right? You can wait a few hours.
It depends on the person. I wait about 45 minutes to let, everything start waking up and get ready for digestion. But saying that, I've fasted overnight for at least 12 to 14 hours.
Okay. So you don't want to eat and then go to bed.
No.
Okay.
It's best to have 3 to 4 hours between your last meal and when you lay down to go to bed.
Okay. And what's the reason for that?
It just helps so that the body's not digesting while you're trying to sleep and repair and have it do all the things it needs to do while it's asleep.
So if you're tossing and turning, you get a little indigestion or, something doesn't feel right, I guess watch what time you eat and try and scale it back to pre 7 o'clock, pre 6 o'clock. What would you,
Cause
a lot of folks are out there working, so they want to come home, they want to have dinner. So what do you suggest? As long as there's that 14 hour window or should you just stop at a certain time?
I'd say 12 hour window is good and 14 hours even better. And then just looking at not eating anything from 3 to 4 hours before going to bed.
Okay.
So it just depends on what somebody's schedule will be like, and then they can figure it out from there. So I eat between like around 6 o'clock, and then I go to bed around 10. And then in the morning, I don't eat again until about 7:45.
Oh, wow. Okay. And coffee. I mean, I have coffee. I drink it black, but I never drink it first thing in the morning. I used to, but actually what I do is I'll drink a big glass of water upon getting up. I'll start doing things, work and this and that. And I'm up pretty early, and I won't have coffee till about 10 or 11 o'clock. And then I'll have myself a cup of black coffee. Does it ruin anything?
Coffee can be great. It's packed full of polyphenols and great things for the body. It just depends on the person if they can tolerate caffeine or not. I don't do well with caffeine anymore, so I drink decaffeinated coffee. And I also have my coffee after my meal. So coffee can be stimulating to some people, not only on the digestive tract, but also the caffeine, like maybe kind of revving them up and making them feel a little bit too wired. So pairing coffee that does have caffeine with a breakfast that does not have sugar, so you're not getting the double whammy.
Oh, okay.
And has some good protein and fats might be okay for that person. But coffee has a lot of nutritional benefits too.
Okay. Well, then there you go, folks. And did we finish with fava beans? Or are we still talking about fava beans? Are we still talking about fiber?
Yeah, like fava beans, I think I was saying they contain good amounts of protein, iron, B vitamins, and minerals like magnesium and potassium. And then we talked about fiber. And about 1 cup of cooked fava beans gives you 9 grams of fiber, which is pretty good because the average American eats or consumes about 15 grams of dietary fiber a day. And this is way below what is needed for optimal health. Optimal health would be between 35 and 40 grams, even up to 50, depending on the person, a day. And fava beans have that complex carbohydrate, which are great for the microbiome because of that fiber. And they have less than 1 gram of fat. So they're very nutritious in that way. They also contain about 14% of your daily value of iron, which is good for people who need to get more iron in the diet or somebody who is following a vegetarian diet for sure. And 40% of your folate. That's a pretty good serving of folate.
Yeah.
In fava beans.
And I want to get into folate, but we have to take a break and hear from our sponsors first. When we come back, Brianna is going to tell us all about folate. So don't go away, folks. You're in the Fresh from the Field Fridays Nutrition Studio today with Dan the Produce Man and Brianna. We'll be back after this.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes. Whoa, what's this? Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, sun rays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunray's grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
All right, folks, here we are in the Fresh from the Field Friday studios. Brianna, my nutrition consultant, is here with me in the studio. And we're talking about nutrition in fava beans. And that nutrition is probably in a lot of other beans as well. But we wanted to get into the folate and then get into some of the other fruits and veggies of the season. So, Brianna, folate, I mean, shoot, the fava beans have, like you said, what, 40%?
Yes, they do. And that folate is very important to the body. It's for red blood cell formation and for healthy cell growth. And it's very important for women who want to become pregnant or are pregnant in preventing birth defects.
Great. All right. So cherries. It's cherry season. California cherries are, the rain messed them up a little bit last week, but we're going to be okay.
I think cherries are so interesting. I did not know they are little mini stone fruits.
Ah, there you go. Yes.
I did not know that, which means, you know, they have, of course, the small seed or pit inside, like plums, nectarines, and peaches, which are also coming up in season soon, right?
Absolutely. They're here now, at least peaches and nectarines. And then pluots will hit.
Oh, I love those too. But I have to say, cherries are probably my favorite fruit from the late spring season because they are so deliciously sweet, but they're also lower in glycemic index. So they won't raise blood sugar like some other fruits
can. Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I love to eat them with unsweetened coconut yogurt and about a tablespoon of chia seed and make my own little pudding with them. And it's just so delicious. I love cherry season. How do you like to eat them?
Well, you know, being in produce all these years, I used to drive out to the Stockton and Waterloo and Lodi and those areas and buy cases and cases of cherries, pallets of them at a time. And a box would always go into the front seat of the truck with me because, you know, you pick them up right there at the farm and you're eating them on the way back.
Oh,
a
yeah.
lot of them.
I could not help myself too.
Be careful, folks, because it'll go right through you.
Yes, that is true too.
summer will keep you regular, that's for sure.
Yeah, all these fruits especially.
But, you know, Bing is king for me. Even though I like most varieties, the Bing is still my favorite variety. So I would eat those and I love the crunch. I love the initial crunch. And then the flavor that comes into the mouth from biting into it. And then, of course, chewing them. And then I love to take the pits. You're just going to think this is weird. Yeah, right? Driving down the road with the driver's side window open, I'll take the pit and I'll put it between my thumb and my forefinger. And because it's slippery, you know, from the cherry juice and probably saliva, I just press on it. And it goes flying like a grasshopper.
And
who knows
fun.
How many cherry trees I've planted on the side of the road. But seriously, just eating them like that. Because in produce, when you're buying and selling produce physically with your hands on it, you're always trying it. You're always tasting it. You're always... So I've never really made anything out of cherries. But that yogurt, that pudding sounds great.
Yeah, I've never made any desserts or cherry pies or things like that, but to add the cherry to something else and make it more like a dessert for me that's healthy, it's a win-win. And I was wondering, what does it mean when the cherries get that split?
Too much water, rain, and sometimes the sun has hit them while the water is on them and it acts like a magnifying glass and it just splits the fruit. And then you have the doubles too.
Yes.
Double cherries, which are just fine. They're just not, they're not classified as number ones for the big grocery chains. But doubles are just as tasty. I used to buy a lot of doubles and then what they call doubles and spurs. And a spur is where a cherry would have grown as a double but just died off.
I thought those were normal. I go to the farmer's market and those are just part of whatever I grab. And I guess I was telling myself for years that split meant they were full of juice. They were more juicier.
Well, you know, I used to do that with melons. Yeah, like orange flesh honeydews, and when they would split on the stem end from just being super, super sweet. Oh, man, were they good. But with the cherries, you know, you will find those doubles and spurs at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And they're perfectly fine. And then if you go during the same season, go into the large, big corporate grocery chains, you'll see perfectly round cherries, unblemished cherries, if they're handling them properly. And with cherries, you really want to look, right now you can't go wrong, but as the season progresses and you go into a store and they have cherries, you always look at the stems.
Yes.
And if the stems are not green and vibrant, those cherries have been hanging around for a little while. If the stems are starting to brown or get woody or look like a little stick, then the cherries are old. So I guess your best nutrients would be from something freshly harvested.
Sure. Freshly harvested and traveled the least amount of time. So
sure, okay.
Here in California, we're spoiled to get cherries from here.
Yeah, we certainly are. And they're packed with a lot of vitamin C as well.
Yeah, they're packed with vitamin C. They're heart healthy, immune boosting, and they actually may help lower blood pressure, cholesterol. Again, here we're talking about that, inflammation and blood sugar. So yeah, they're full of vitamins and minerals, like you said, especially vitamin C and actually potassium as well. They also contain several antioxidants and polyphenols. And these polyphenols act as antioxidants and can inhibit cellular damage by reducing oxidative stress and neutralizing free radicals.
So how do polyphenols confer health benefits? What is their role?
Well, they can help offer us protection against the development of some diseases like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, neurodegenerative diseases, and even some cancers. And polyphenols are found in many plant foods like cherries and other berries.
They're
in a lot of different foods, so it's not exclusive to just berries.
So fruit salad and salads, folks.
Definitely.
Without the sugary dressing. And you don't need to put any sugar on your fruit.
No.
If you know, like you just said, cherries that do not
have a higher glycemic index, they're so sweet already and delicious. And these polyphenols are a diverse group of phytochemicals, just meaning plant
derived
chemicals that are naturally made within the plants. And it's actually made by them to help protect them from their environment, like from harsh weather, ultraviolet damage, and nibbling from bugs and things in the field.
So we're eating their defense system.
Yes, we are. And we get all of those benefits when we eat them.
Wow.
Because we make our own endogenous antioxidants, but we can also eat polyphenols that act like exogenous antioxidants in the body.
Wow, folks. See, we're here pushing this all the time, every week. All of us here on the Produce Industry Network, Patrick, Juanita, even John, because he's part of Sunrays. So he's pushing it too, even though he does the history of produce. And here we are, you know, we're always, and Guido was with us, 2 weeks ago? And him and I always pushed the enjoyment of fresh fruit and vegetables. And that's one thing I've always liked to do is first, I always like to push the enjoyment of the fresh fruit and vegetables, because I think if people enjoy them, then the nutrition will naturally follow. It's just a sidetrack stuff. It's what people do with it. And I'm not saying don't eat your family recipes that have been passed down over the years, the nice pies and cakes that your grandmother used to make or stuff that came over from the old country. That's fine. But eating your fresh fruits and vegetables solo as well, as much as you can, especially when it comes to the microbiomes that you mentioned. And we're going to get into that on another podcast.
I like to think of fruit as nature's candy because I don't eat table sugar and I don't usually eat any processed foods or processed foods with sugar, or I should say highly processed foods.
Sugar. Or processed sugar.
Or processed sugar. So my palate has changed so much. I find vegetables sweet even.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so I like to think of fruit as nature's candy. It's the way I kind of indulge in enjoying food, like you just mentioned. Finding that enjoyment in the food and the added bonus is what is contained within the whole foods. And that's all of the health benefits packed within.
And I think, Brianna, if people challenge themselves to take 1 week, cut out salt, sugar, fat, and when I say sugar, the processed sugars like you're talking about, empty carbohydrates, and give your taste buds a chance to reset themselves, then I think what will happen is, like you say, they'll find certain things sweet, but they'll also find ways to make it happen. In other words, the excuses of, well, I'm too busy. Oh, I work all the time. I'm too busy to worry about my health. I'll do that later on in life after I've eaten 9,000 tacos and burgers and all this other stuff.
Probably not feeling too well from eating all that food, for sure. All that ultra processed fast food. But Mother Nature is so wonderfully smart that she packaged all of these fruits
So they're portable.
And that's true. And today you can get things already cut up, already packaged, ready to go. So you don't have to do that. If your excuse is that you can't do that, you don't have the time, which everyone has a knife and almost everyone has a kitchen and almost everyone has a cutting board. So
definitely. And, you know, probably you know this, that as soon as you open and cut open fruit, certain fruits and vegetables, it starts to oxidize. It's like that apple that you cut and it starts turning brown.
Sure.
So bring the whole apple with you. And there's so much that comes from chewing food and crunchy food and biting into food that helps with the health of your facial muscles, your gums and your teeth. And, you know, things don't need to be cut up all the time. And that's what's great about fruit is grab the banana, grab the apple, grab the carrots, grab the cherries in season. Okay. And you just put it in something to carry it, but you don't have to do anything special with it. It's going to stay good wherever you go. You don't even need to refrigerate it. And there's your snack. Or, you know, sometimes I'll just grab some vegetables and fruit and then maybe a little bit of hummus. And that's all I need. Or the unsweetened coconut yogurt. That's one of my favorites. That's what's so great about eating whole foods. It has all these health benefits. It's portable. And man, they're delicious. And when I don't yes. eat those ultra processed foods or fast foods or highly refined foods and sugars, my palate has changed. And not only has my palate changed, but my gut's microbiome diversity has changed to actually crave more of those healthy foods and not crave those unhealthy foods I was eating before. It takes about 2 weeks, people say, when I've worked with them to have no sugar in the diet, to start to feel that difference and not crave the sugars, taste things differently. And like you mentioned, maybe not adding so much table salt to food, but some natural salts like Himalayan pink salt or Celtic sea salt, you know, those are much better than regular iodized table salt. But anyways, you taste foods differently because there's naturally occurring sodium in food as well.
Wow. I learned a lot here today, folks. Some stuff I already knew, but I learned a lot more as well. I didn't even know about the face structure using the jaw and chewing more. And that way you don't have to go out and get a facelift. You eat your fresh fruit and vegetables. Well, Brianna, this has been enlightening, and I love having you here. Will you come back again?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right, folks. You heard it from my nutritional consultant, Brianna. This is the perfect time of the year to start that two-week changeover because all the good stuff is starting to come in. And, of course, it's always good stuff year-round. Hey, folks, be sure to check out the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the History of Produce series with John Papp, the Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallio, the Produce Industry app. Download that now on your smartphone, on your watch, on your tablet, or wherever else you can download an app to. Paper plates, I don't know, somewhere. And folks, check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at dantheproduceman.com. Okay, Brianna, take it away. One more tip.
One great tip for this week. See if you can challenge yourself to have 40 different plants in your diet.
In the week or in the day?
In the week.
All right, folks, you heard it from Brianna. Until next week, folks, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get 40 different ones fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.